Good morning, Kingsman. Whoa, I changed that up. Yeah, good morning, Fantasy Football. How's it going, everybody? I hope everybody's doing great. I'm your host, Robert Iams, in the studio. I got him back now, guys. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, man?
Woo! You're back in the studio.
That's yeah, great. I'm here, man. I'm here.
I told you guys I'd get him back. He's just been gone with his future lady.
First it was construction on the house because I had that leaking tub. I had to tear everything out, put it all. I had to get some Flex Seal, just all kinds of mess. And then I went on vacation. So,
yeah.
I'm here, man. I'm here.
Now you got to get yourself back in the fantasy football, which, guys, we just had our draft started while Jay was out on vacation. He was up in the mountains.
I know. I'm the one who said. Okay, hold on. I got to whisper this. I set the draft, and I forgot that I was going out of town. And my girl was like, it's no cell phones weekend, you know? And
yeah.
And so I had to keep trying to sneak it and do okay.
But then I got to go to the bathroom. Well, I just went like 5 minutes ago.
Well, I was just saying that at the cabin, man, there was no I had no signal. I only had signal when we had to go for like a run to the store to grab something. So it was like,
yeah,
you know, trying to get something in to get the draft. But
dude, the draft went fast.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that.
It did go, well. It would have been faster if I didn't, if I hadn't forgotten and set the draft for the same time going on vacation. Because, I mean, you guys waited for like a whole day before my first pick. So,
right. That's cool. I mean, we got it done in what, 3 or 4 days, and that's with no time limit. And I think last year we did a no time limit, and that took a while.
Yeah, that one, it took us...
A week and a half.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
It was a week and... No, that was the other league. Our league last year, because we drafted a week before the season, that Thursday.
Yeah.
We started drafting on that Sunday, so we were done drafting by Wednesday.
Oh, yeah,
you're thinking of Rivals.
Yeah.
That was a startup that took a week and a half.
Right.
So.
All right, guys, let's get in this. Let's drop into some news. Deshaun Watson, he's been working out with Cooks, Cobb, and Cutie. Cutie's kind of a little bit of like a, I don't know, a little bit different. I would expect Will Fuller to be out there and not Cutie. But, hey, you know, Cutie, a lot of people had hype for him, you know, 2 years ago when he came out. I know I was one. I picked him up. He had an awesome game against the Colts. He had two of them, actually. And, you know, he kind of just disappeared in, you know, last season. He wasn't really there. And so maybe he can come out and, you know, maybe this would be a third-year breakout where he just comes out of nowhere. It's possible. But Allen Robinson, Bears are ending offseason program 1.5 weeks early. It's just their virtual offseason. Nothing too fancy. Matt Ryan is talking to Hayden Hurst in Zoom session, saying that, you know, he's the fastest and most athletic tight end he's ever played with. I mean, have they even gotten a chance to play with each other yet?
No. It's just the Zoom calls and just building some rapport on a psychological level, but won't know much till they actually start throwing the ball.
Right. And I like Hayden Hurst. I don't know. I haven't really talked about him. I talked about him a little bit, but if you guys are still drafting in a startup dynasty league, and if you can get Hayden Hurst, I mean, honestly, you could probably get him maybe 10th. The 13th rounds, you know, if you need a tight end. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, fully put your eggs in his basket, trusting he's going to be a great, you know, tight end for you week in and week out. Mm-hmm. But I would, you know, I'd definitely interested in him.
Yeah. Well, some other news is everybody's really kind of been chattering about is the Dalvin Cook holdout.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yep. Dalvin, what do you think about that? I mean, Alexander Madison,
that's why they drafted Madison.
I mean, can you? I mean, obviously, you can't draft Cook in the first now. Can you?
Well, I think you still do.
I mean, you almost have to.
Yeah, but the only thing to it is that, you know, I've been reading in different places where
it's like a Melvin Gordon situation.
Well, it's the possibility of the Vikings could just move on. I mean. and roll with Madison. Depending on what Madison, if Madison performs well while
Cook is out,
it could be Cook gone, you know,
like in a Chargers situation.
Yeah, and another guy that's falling into this I was reading about was Kamara. Kamara could be coming up for a holdout too.
Wow. And so if you guys got these guys,
It's something to keep an eye on. You know, it's definitely could be a situation, especially if a team that has both, which there's a guy in our league that has both Cook and Kamara. So it could definitely be a difficult situation for him.
Right.
But it's definitely something you have to keep an eye on. I'd almost say it might be your best bet was you should have gotten their backups in the offseason. Because now you're gonna pay premium price for Madison and Latavius Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck, everybody. Good luck with that.
Todd Gurley finally officially passed his physical with the Falcons, which that's good news, right?
Oh man, he's gonna eat, dude. They're gonna feed him. He's gonna eat it up, dude. I think he's gonna have one of his best seasons.
Do you think we're going to see 2018 Gurley?
Oh yeah, I dude, the Falcons got him for 1 year. They're gonna
He's gonna get
25 touches a game. I mean, those of you who are looking for a championship, you got to go get Todd Gurley, man. I mean, if you're in a win now, you got to have him. They have nobody. Who's gonna take carries from him? Ito Smith. I mean, come on.
What would you pay? What would you think would be a good offer for Todd Gurley?
Well, when I picked up Todd Gurley, I traded Julio Jones for Todd Gurley. So I had an aging receiver, even though he's one of the best, man. I love Julio, man. I've had him for a few years. I've had him for 3 years. He's nothing against him. I just felt that Gurley, you know, had a bad kind of an off season last year, but it wasn't his fault. It wasn't because of injury. It was just the Rams were waiting because they didn't know if he would get hurt, so they held him back. And then when they finally let him go, released him to actually start playing, it was too late for them to make playoffs. So I went out and got him right away because I just thought, man, he was looking good, he was looking healthy, and Julio, I let Julio go. I had Calvin Ridley, so I felt I could deal away with Julio and bring in Todd Gurley. And Todd Gurley is my premium back right now. He's my number one. On my team, which number two, obviously, I have David Johnson. We'll see how that goes. And I got some rookies. So I'm a little.
Yes, some good rookies.
I'm a little thinned out at running back. Oh, and I got Singletary. And, a lot of people are talking about Singletary being, they brought in Zach Moss and. You know, but see, Zach Moss was brought in to fill in the role of Frank Gore. And Frank Gore did not hurt Singletary in his carries and everything that he was doing. So I think Singletary is going to stay right where he's at. And Zach Moss is just going to do that Frank Gore role. So I'm not too concerned about it, which I drafted Zach Moss. I'm feeling pretty good and pretty confident about Todd Gurley having a great season. I think he's going to have a great season.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I like Todd Gurley a lot, especially for this season. You want to get into this rookie draft, some trades that we, you know, set us up for this? What are you thinking?
Yeah, man. We can and the draft changed tremendously, especially my last trade really set the tone. So I'll throw it out there. The last big trade I made was I wanted to move up, and I traded Miles Sanders. Now, I think Miles Sanders is a very well running back, and I felt like Doug Peterson, he's always a running back by committee, and they've been looking for another running back, and it bothers me that, you know, they could totally, you know, go out there and grab – you know, Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy, and, you know, take carries from Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders could be an every down back, but for some reason, Doug Peterson just likes the running back by committees. And I, And I don't know, it bothered me a little bit. So I made a trade. I wanted to get the best value I could for Miles Sanders. And so this was my trade. I traded, it's a big trade. I traded Miles Sanders and my 20. I had three first round picks this year. The 1.5, 1.8, and 1.9 of the first round. And Miles Sanders. And I traded them for the first overall pick, the third overall pick, a 2021 first round, and then two 2020 second round picks, the 2.2 and the 2.7. So I did get three first. I got three first back. And I traded three first, but I got moved up, and you know, and so that was my thinking. My thinking was to get the best value I could for Miles Sanders, which I brought in with those picks. I brought in Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, and then next year on the first, I already got some guys on the list, but and then the 2.2 and the 2.7, which. The 2.2, I traded it to bring in David Johnson. So, I guess technically speaking, out of that trade, I was able to bring in David Johnson, which I got. You know, is just it's a security blanket for me. But that was my big one. So, what about you?
I traded you the 108. But I was able to get Aaron Jones and Mike Gesicki in the 206 out of it. Sent away Michelle Harris and 108. Kind of felt like, I mean, I like Sony Michelle and I do like Damian Harris. I'm expecting, you know, big things for those guys in the future, but I just was not feeling it. And where I saw 108, I figured obviously the top three, four running backs are going to be off the board. So I could have a chance to get maybe like a Keyshawn Vaughn. But I kind of feel like that's kind of similar to Sony Michel and Damian Harris. I'm not sure who's going to be the main guy, you know, because they still have Rojo and they've hyped him up, but it's been quiet for a while.
Yeah.
So I figured if I can get, you know, Aaron Jones and Mike Gesicki out of the deal, because I do have Mark Andrews and O.J. Howard, but O.J. Howard, who knows how that's going to go. But so I did. That's kind of one of my big moves was moving 108 to bring in Aaron Jones. And then I guess one more is I did move Leonard Fournette. Now that I had Aaron Jones, I kind of felt a little bit more secure at running back. And I was a little worried about if I was going to be able to get A.J. Dillon. And I was able to get him in the third round at 303, which I got from Jay here as mm-hmm. well. But I traded him Leonard Fournette, Armstead, and 206. And I brought in Amari Cooper and Darrell Henderson. So I was able to get A.J. Dillon, but those were kind of my big moves out of, I guess, before this season or before we drafted.
Yeah, it was, you know, I know seeing you, like, you kind of traded out of the first and you traded out in the second round.
Yeah, I kind of had a different strategy this time. Instead of going in, you know, first two rounds like you did, and then I kind of went more third, fourth round while getting vets. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that, you know, you drafted well, even being in, you know, the third and fourth round. I mean, you had grabbed some pretty decent guys. And it was, like, for me, I was shocked to grab Reagor. I got Reagor with the 2.9 pick, man. That was right. That's just ridiculous, man. He must fell into the third round.
Well, yeah, if he would have gotten to 3-3, I probably still wouldn't have gotten him just because I really needed A.J. Dillon, just because I'm not sure how the Green Bay Packers are going to, you know, facilitate themselves. But who all did you get? Well, I mean, what picks did you have?
Well, at the 1.1, I went Jonathan Taylor. 1.3, I went Dobbins.
Now, let me ask you, why did you go Taylor over CEH like some people would do, pick Dobbins 101?
Well, see, I knew Dobbins would be there. I actually like Dobbins better than I like Jonathan Taylor and CEH, just because what Dobbins did at Ohio State, And yeah. I know I've got on my soapbox about this, about how he outperformed Zeke Elliott at Ohio State. But I knew that the top guys was Jonathan Taylor and CEH. Now, I took Taylor because, obviously, I'm a Colts fan, so my Colts part got me first on that one. I had to take him because I knew if I would have took Dobbins first, the guy at number two, he was talking about taking Taylor. So, I think CEH, where he's at, I'm not comfortable with what's going on there. I mean, they signed Damian Williams to a long-term contract, so they're going to use him. He's going to be splitting carries. I mean, he might not – CEH might not get the stranglehold of until year three, maybe, when he finally gets to emerge as the number one running back and Damian Williams is out. And Damian Williams, you remember him, he beasted it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, he was running down their throats, man. I mean, that's why they signed him to a contract. But CEH does things that he can't do. So I'm sure they're going to do the whole Kamara yeah. Ingram back when them two guys were together. That's what right. we're going to see.
1-2 punch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I figured, and Jonathan Taylor, I'm a Colts fan, and I know the Colts they're saying they want to do the Mac and Taylor thing, but Mac is an unrestricted free agent after this year. So I can't see them keeping him. So I know Taylor's eventually going to take that job full go.
So then you got Dobbins at 1-3, right?
Yeah, 1-3. I took Dobbins. Then I fell all the way down to the 2.1, which I took Justin Jefferson. And I was so hoping to get Van Jefferson, but somebody snatched him up.
Now, let me ask you here. What now, Henry Ruggs and T. Higgins, you know, a couple other wide receivers are still there. Why did you pick Justin Jefferson over those two guys?
Well, I like his situation. I mean, he's going into Minnesota at that number two spot, you know, wide receiver, guaranteed wide receiver two spot. And who knows, wide receiver one spot. I mean, Justin Jefferson, if you look at what he even did at his pro day,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he everybody was talking about him, everything he was doing. I mean, he's just polished and clean and fast and good hands. And I mean, everybody was just his stock jumped during that before he went into before they did the draft. So that's why I had to take him. I mean, he was the fourth receiver taken off within the first round right there. Because yeah. I mean, first it was the first receiver off was what, Judy, and then it was Lamb. Then it was
CD Lamb, then Judy, then Michael Pittman.
Pittman, I couldn't believe that one. I was like, what is going on there?
Why? Why not?
Because
he's prime spot. I mean, yes, they still have Hilton and Campbell, but I mean, I don't know. Go ahead. What do you think?
My thought was that when he took, because he's already got Paris Campbell. I mean, yeah. what is he going to do with?
Well, how about this? In Rivals, I had Preston Williams and then Devontae Parker got dropped and I picked up Parker. I'm still going to hold on to both of those guys because, yeah, Parker, you know, showed out. But is he going to connect like that with Tua when Tua takes over? Or is Preston Williams going to be that guy that steps up? You know what I mean? So you don't know. You might as well kind of have that backup. And then you could always flip one. If one of them's just as good or equal, you might as well trade them.
Yeah,
what do you have to lose?
Well, that's just that he doesn't want to trade because I asked him what he wanted for Paris Campbell and it was like no sale. So I don't know what he's.
Well, he is a diehard Colts fan.
Yeah, he's a Colts fan, but it's still. I mean, Pittman and Paris.
Right.
But whatever. Okay, so then as we continued on the two, like you said, there were still some guys on the board that I went over that I decided. To pass on to pick up Justin Jefferson, and then because you know we had Ruggs out there and he had Higgins, and I was thinking about those, but I just like the situation because Higgins, you know, you got Boyd there, you still got AJ Green there, you have Ross the third there.
Well, at 2-6, you went with Chase Claypool over like a Denzel Mims.
and a Rager. Oh, no, well, I took Rager.
You took Rager at 2-9. Well,
I like Chase Claypool because we talked about him on the podcast. Dude, yeah, the dude's big, and I know they're looking for their big receiver there at Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like he's just big. I mean, he's got good. He's just tall. He can catch some contested balls and. So, you know, Mims, I like Mims, but man, I just don't like where he's at. and same with, you know, and Rager, I'm not crazy about where he's at either in Philly, because I mean, they've always had a bunch of receivers. I mean, look at Arcega Whiteside last year. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh man, and he went there and, you know, big old Duke went on there. So,
right.
I felt like just the situation alone where he was sitting at, I had to go with Chase Claypool. So, which I had somebody trying to hit me up on a trade right there, and it didn't work out, and I took him, and then it turned out that was the guy they wanted to take with that pick. So I found that kind of funny. As soon as I took him, they're like, oh, that's the guy I wanted with that pick. That's why I was trying to get that pick. So it was pretty good. And then I went Zach Moss only because I needed insurance on Singletary. Yeah. And people are like, oh, yeah, that's – I thought it was kind of early to draft him, but you got to understand, I have no third-round picks. So I was either get him now or I wasn't going to – I probably wouldn't have got him at all. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Rager at 2.9, which I talked to some guys. They said Rager was going in the first round in some fantasy drafts.
Wow.
Some rookie fantasy drafts. So I really felt like, man, I did really well right there.
Right.
And then on the next round, you took Van Jefferson, and I was really hoping he was going to fall to the next round.
Well, no, I my first pick, I didn't have any picks the first two rounds.
Right.
My first pick was A.J. Dillon at 3-3, mm-hmm. which I'd gotten from you, and I had to take A.J. Dillon just because I have Aaron Jones. Mm-hmm. So I have to have that assurance. And then I was able to pick up, I mean, I went RB heavy. I went Anthony McFarland at 3-6.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good spot for him just because they still got James Conner, but they picked up Anthony McFarland for a reason. I mean, they picked up Snell last year. Why you get another guy? And then I'm just on the sleeper app itself. It says McFarland's, you know, third string or, you know, underneath Jalen Samuels. But Jalen Samuels isn't even a lock to be on the roster, you know, just from what's been put out there. So I really like Anthony McFarland. I mean, coming out of Maryland, I mean, he's a tough runner. He's a little bit smaller guy, but he knows how to run and pound and take hits, you know, and do what he needs to do. So mm-hmm. it's possible McFarland could have a good chance. And then I wasn't able to pick until 4-3 again, which I have from you, and I took your guy Van Jefferson.
That was a good pickup. I mean, if that's your first receiver off the board, I think it's a good pickup.
Yeah, I honestly wanted, you know, Benjamin, but I was like, man, I have to get some type of wide receiver in here. I can't just go all running back. And I saw Van Jefferson there. He's been gotten a lot of comparison of Robert Woods, or if not better.
They refer to him as the poor man to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
He's the poor man version, you know, just because, you know, Van Jefferson didn't go to as big a school, didn't, you know, go to the, like, have all that he had, you know, but they're identical as players. Just, right. You know, one was in a bigger school than the other one.
But yeah, I like Van Jefferson, and I mean, the Rams, you know, they like to throw the ball a lot, and I'm really expecting Jared Goff to throw more this season. And Van Jefferson, I mean, if he can show out and show what he can do and gets his chance, I really think that he's going to, you know, can do what he's got to do and, you know, be the guy. I don't expect him to take over anything, but he could get himself in the slot or, you know, the third wide receiver out there. And then I went with Lynn Bowden Jr. With the Raiders. At 4-6, I just had to pick him up. I figured that's a good kind of, I don't know. I had, I had 4-7. And I took LaMiracle, Perrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to be backing up Bell. So I kind of wanted these backup guys.
And they said they're putting Bell on a pitch count. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I could get a guy that's already going to start doing something off the bat. And, you know, he's known for his receiving, you know, as well. He's pretty good at, you know, catching the ball and finding, you know, spots. And then, yeah, you had a 5-3.
Yeah, 5-3. I've took this guy in every draft we've done. I don't know if you've noticed. And everything, and all the other drafts we've had in all the other leagues, I always end up with this guy, which is obviously KJ Hill from Ohio State. And I just don't understand. I understand, okay, in the draft, he didn't get drafted at like the 7th round. But he's with the Chargers. So I think he has an opportunity there, you know, with the quarterback situation and, you know, some of the potential that some of the guys didn't have there, like Mike Williams didn't, you know, I feel like, you know, wasn't what was anticipated for him. So I just think there's some opportunity for KJ Hill to come on because, you know, KJ Hill's a quick guy, and you know, I think he can get some things done. I mean, yeah, he's a little undersized, and he likes to work in the slot, which the way that you know they say when he breaks out of his cuts, I mean, they said he's a smooth operator. So I like KJ Hill. I mean, and I'm glad I was gonna take him in the last, because I know nobody's going to touch the guy, so he's just somebody I'm going to throw on my taxi squad and let it ride.
Yeah. And my last pick at 5-6, I went with Quez Watkins. Just kind of like a dart throw kind of guy, but the Eagles, you know, their wide receiver core is completely shaky. I mean, Watkins isn't, you know, I mean, he's just a pure burner with sub 4.4 second 40-yard dash speed, which, you know, the Eagles didn't even have last year because DeSean Jackson was out, which supposedly he's supposed to be their main guy. But, I mean, I'm not expecting Watkins to start, you know, right away. But, I mean, when he's on the field, I mean, he's a home threat.
Yeah.
So he just has to expand his tree, and I expect him to, you know, if he can do that, he might have a really good chance. Definitely a great, you know, target there at the final round, which we actually changed most of the time our rookie drafts were 7 rounds, and we actually moved down to 5 rounds. So I don't know if there's any leagues out there that have 7 rounds. Maybe throw that idea of having 5 rounds. You know what? I mean, you're their commish. What was your reasoning behind throwing this out there?
Because I noticed in almost everybody else's drafts, they were most of them were doing 4 rounds. Four right. Rookie rounds, so which for me it was about the time, just cutting down on the time, and then also for your roster also didn't seem like it was necessary. I felt like, you know, it was you can get the guys you need within 5 rounds. So
right, I mean we saw it there.
Yeah, which
yeah,
keep going, keep going.
I was going to say, this is like what we saw in the 5th round. We kind of had those dark throws. That's all I was going to say. Yeah.
But, you know, I got to admit, man, it was cool to see, like, in this draft. And if you guys, I'll be straight up with you guys. The league that we drafted in is my number one league. It was the first league I ever started. We're many, many years in this league. And so I'm very much invested in this league. It's like my first dynasty league that I started, and it's been going on. We're going into our 6th year of it, so it's been pretty good. It's been shaky. There's been some little ups and downs. We used to be a 12-team league. Now we're a 10-team league, and there's still a struggle in that because of people like coming in and quitting on their team. It's been kind of a mess, so hopefully we can keep it going. In this draft, it was really, like I said, it was really cool to see that there's some guys that really paid attention on what we said. And it was very interesting to see some of the picks. Like when I saw the Israelag take, you know, Quentin Cephas, man, I just thought that dude's been listening to our podcast because I talked about Quentin Cephas. I actually like Quentin Cephas. I was hoping I could pick him up in free agency after the draft, you know, and stash him away in the taxi squad. And never made it. And it was just really cool to see things like that.
Right.
Guys grabbed some dark, you know, dark horses in there. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad nobody grabbed KJ Hill because I would have been broken.
Yeah.
One thing that I think that's kind of crazy or kind of interesting is the first tight end didn't go off till the fifth round.
Yeah.
5.4.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting to me because I kind of had a thought at grabbing a tight end at 4.7, but I already have Gesicki, Andrews, and O.J. Howard. If I didn't have O.J. Howard, I honestly might have grabbed Devin Asiasi.
I'm surprised you didn't grab Ian Thomas, man. He's sitting out there right now. I remember you were talking him up like hardcore a few months ago.
Well, with the Panthers, I mean, well, you know, I'm not very sure where that team is going. You know, we haven't really seen Teddy Bridgewater do his thing. I mean, we saw with the Saints, but, you know, this is a complete new coach, complete new team for him. So I don't know what to expect. So, I have too many good guys on my team anyways. I'm not interested in picking them up. I am completely stacked. I mean, I had to drop some guys I didn't want to drop. I mean, I still need to pick up a kicker, but I'm going to wait till like the season's about to start. I already got one in mind, but I need to make some trades here if I can.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but it was really neat to see guys. Like, I know some guys that were struggling in running back positions, and they went all running back. Like,
well, that's pretty much what I did.
Yeah, Pittsburgh Nelly, man. I mean, he went and got Vaughn, and then he went and Gibson and Eno Benjamin. So it was I wanted Eno. Eno was the guy I was really targeting, but, man, I didn't have the pick to get him. So
I could have, but, like I said, I had to get A.J. Dillon, I had to.
Yeah.
I had to do it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what you do when you have those kind of running back situations where, you know, and it wasn't – I mean, third round, that's not reaching at all, I don't think, for A.J. Dillon. I mean, what's the worst that can – I mean, yeah. So it's okay if you do that. Don't overreach.
Yeah, there were just some weird stuff. Like, I seen somebody waste an early second-round pick on Evans, that running back for Tennessee, and I thought, man, that was a reach.
See, that's what I'm saying, stuff like that. But he has Derrick Henry.
I know, but I guarantee you, nobody was going to, because of Derrick Henry, nobody was going to touch that guy. At all.
Well, he probably could have got him
in the fifth round.
Well, I might have, if he was there, I might have, would have grabbed him at 3-6. But I'm not, I don't know. I mean, it just depends on who was there. Anthony McFarland might not have been there, and I might have been interested. You know what I mean? Just because the third round, I don't think that's bad because, you know, what if Derrick Henry, you know, bums out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if he gets injured? You know, what if after the season? I don't know. But
right.
A little bit of a reach, but I agree with that.
Anyway, at 2.2, that's a reach. He still had a 2.5 later on. So
I mean, he could have grabbed Henry Ruggs, Keyshawn Vaughn, T. Higgins.
There's a lot of guys sitting there he could have grabbed.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was kind of a reach. But that's why if you guys listened to our podcast, you wouldn't be doing stuff like that. So
yeah, you wouldn't be doing stupid shit.
They would have been going right along with what we had going on, but.
That's okay. That just allowed guys to drop to us. You know, I honestly wasn't expecting A.J. Dillon to get to third. Mm. Really wasn't. And he did, you know.
Yeah, just like I didn't expect Reagor to fall to 2.9. That was ridiculous,
right?
Man.
I think some people listened or maybe it like heard like a couple minutes. But, man, that's okay. Whatever.
Right.
There's people out there.
Well, you know, I just want to throw in a little bit here. Snippet of another league that I started up where you draft a whole team rather than just a player. I just wanted to get your thoughts on who do you think the bottom five, let's say four, we'll go the bottom five NFL teams will be this year. Just your opinion. Who do you think will be the five worst teams?
Five worst.
How about you give me one, and then I'll give you one, and then we'll just see how far we can go.
The five worst teams.
Just say one.
The Bears.
The Bears. I say Washington. We'll be down there too.
Honestly, I'm going to say the Raiders.
See, I was kind of thinking that just because of quarterback.
Yep.
But, yeah. And I see the Jets. The Jets would be down there too.
The Jets?
Yeah.
That leaves us with what? One more?
Yeah. And this is a tricky one. Well, I'll see who you think, and then I'll tell you who I think, and I'll give my reasons why.
Honestly, this might sound, I don't know.
Well, fine. I'll go first. When it comes to this new league, what I'm talking about is it's going to be more about the offense, and you get the whole team. And I think the 49ers, they have a great defense, but their offense is not a high-scoring offense. They're not going to go, 20
you think
plus
they just
a game.
Had a one-year wonder?
Well, they're not
be gonna, like the Rams.
They're not going to be 20 plus every week. Come on. Is Garoppolo going to throw for 4,000, 5,000 yards and,
no.
30 touchdowns? No.
No.
Yeah, is your boy Mozart going to have, 15 plus touchdowns?
Maybe like 9, 10.
Do you think Debo's going to have 1,000 yards receiving and a dozen touchdowns?
No.
The only guy
maybe 1,000 yards.
The only guy on that team that's going to have a phenomenal season is Kittle. So that's why I put the Niners in the bottom five for an offense, because they're not a high-powered offense. They live off the defense. The defense will keep them in every game and keep it low scoring so they can win.
Right.
So that's just my opinion. That's just something. Like I said, guys, I'm starting a new league. What's funny is I only have like one spot left out of 6.
You guys want to join? It's up to you, Jay. But guys, need to go join our Facebook page, Keeper Kings.
Yes.
All right,
come be a Kingsman.
Come be a Kingsman, and then message Jay and be like, "Hey, dude, I really like that idea. What are the details on getting in?"
Yeah.
And maybe we can get you in on this league. Something new. Try something new, guys.
Yeah, it's new.
2020.
I noticed there's no platform that can support this. So it's kind of tricky how I figured out how to do it on Sleeper. And it's a little different.
That's the platform we use.
Yeah, it is the platform we use. Because there's no platform that says, "Oh, hey, here, you draft the NFL this team, then you get everybody." There's nothing that has it. So I figured a way how to do it. It's going to be a little bit of a chore, but I got it figured out that it's going to be it's going to be easy to maintain, easy maintenance, because if somebody gets hurt, you already got the backup. You don't have to jump into free agency. You don't got to worry about somebody having them or anything like that. You got two full NFL teams to do with as you please. There's no trades though, but, hopefully,
it means you really got to do your homework on your teams.
Yeah, because if you get a team, you're screwed. And there's some strategy because there's a bye week, so you're gonna have a week. Two
yeah,
weeks
look
there
at the schedule
with people on the bye week. But here's a strategy I was thinking: what would you rather do? Let me ask you this: would you rather have two games where you went 50%, or would you rather have one game where you went zero?
I was thinking about that. I'd rather have the one game where I go zero.
Right. That's the strategy.
Well, no, it'd be two, though.
No, it'd only be one. If you have two teams that have the same bye week.
Oh, yeah, that's true. One week
you get
nothing.
A zero. So what? I got beat one game rather than have two games where you might get beat.
Yeah. So, I'm not, that's a good idea.
But you have the chance of winning both those games. Because maybe the other guy you're playing has a bye week.
Right. All right, guys.
All right.
Make sure you join our Facebook page, Keeper Kings. Follow me on Twitter at Keeper King IAMS. Guys, make sure you guys are following me. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. You got anything, Jay?
I'm just an old dinosaur, man. I only have the Facebook, dude. I don't got Twitter or anything. But yeah, check out Keeper Kings, man.
Yep. All right, guys. You guys have a great weekend. Stay blessed, and we'll see you guys next week. Later.